After the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in its ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, some states were quick to enact their own restrictive abortion laws. Now the House Oversight and Reform Committee is looking at how the ruling will affect states and the law. Committee Chair Carolyn Maloney, a Democrat from New York, opened the hearing by saying 14 days ago the Republican majority of the Supreme Court stripped away a right enjoyed for generations.
Now the Supreme Court has bulldozed straight through our rights with this extreme, dangerous, and undemocratic decision. We are already seeing the disastrous effects of this decision as states begin criminalizing abortion. Abortion is now illegal in 16 states, and anti-abortion legislators in other states are rushing to follow suit, threatening to make abortion inaccessible for an estimated 33 million women across the country.
On the other side of the aisle, ranking Republican committee member James Comer of Kentucky blasted the hearing as Democratic fear-mongering.
Today's hearing continues the pattern set by Democrats throughout this entire Congress. In hearing after hearing, they have sought to draw attention away from the failures of the Biden administration. Failures that have led to skyrocketing inflation, record high gas prices, a frightening shortage of baby formula, and the worst border crisis in the history of America. While Democrats refuse to conduct any meaningful oversight, President Biden has put us on a path to destroy America.
Comer says the court ruling did not outlaw abortion, but simply returned the issue to states to decide. Democrat Rashida Tlaib of Michigan is not so sure.
Republicans are claiming this is about returning power to the states, but they've said themselves that they want to ban abortion nationwide. Kevin McCarthy himself and Steve Scalise, as well as Mike Pence, has said it. In fact, every Republican in this committee, though, supports legislation that would lead to nationwide restrictions on abortion.
Democrat Brenda Lawrence of Michigan followed up on that point.
My colleagues on the other side keep talking about giving the states the right to choose about abortion, but you want to take that right to choose away from a woman who is carrying that child, who has all of the responsibilities, health care, and all of that. I find that ironic that choice only works for you in certain scenarios.
While Chair Maloney blasted Republicans and Comer targeted radical Democrats and President Joe Biden, Republican Jody Heiss of Georgia took aim directly at abortion.
The question comes down to, when does a person have the right to life? And when does a person have the right to health care? And we can argue all day that abortion is health care. It certainly is not health care to the baby. Healthcare protects life, and abortion, by definition, destroys life. It is not healthcare. But if we're talking about a person, which we are, we're not talking a taco, we're talking a person in the womb.
The committee heard from a panel of witnesses on both sides of the issue. Fatima Goss-Graves is president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center. She told the committee the Supreme Court ruling unleashed chaos as states rush to ban abortions and women are told they'll be forced to remain pregnant and give birth and unable to leave the state.
To the committee members and to anyone who is watching today, I am here to say this is not a drill. Our very democracy and what it means to be an equal participant in our society, in our economy, in our political system. It's on the brink of demise. And alongside it, things like free and fair elections, interstate travel, freedom to express oneself, safety in public places, the right to protest, and indeed, yes, that fundamental right to privacy. These are principles of our democracy, and they are significantly under threat.
Renita Shannon is a Democratic state representative from Georgia, a state she says has 2.5 million women of reproductive age, almost half of them economically insecure. She calls the Dobbs ruling structural violence, especially against Black, Brown, Indigenous people of color, people with disabilities, and the LGBTQ community. And she says abortion providers are already seeing the effects of the ruling.
Since the Dobbs decision, providers in Georgia tell me that they have seen two patterns emerge. First, they've been overwhelmed with calls from out-of-state patients as state by states rush to ban abortion. A provider in Alabama referred 100 patients in one phone call to the Atlanta-based provider I spoke with. The second pattern is that the patients are terminating earlier and earlier in pregnancy, feeling pressured to be decisive before losing access to abortion altogether.
UC Irvine Law Professor Michelle Bratcher Goodwin put the issue in historical context, relating it to slavery and the 13th and 14th Amendments.
The overturning of Roe v. Wade reveals the Supreme Court's neglectful reading of the amendments that abolished slavery and guaranteed all people equal protection under the law. It means the erasure of Black women from the Constitution. Mandated, forced, or compulsory pregnancy actually contravene enumerated rights in the Constitution, namely the 13th Amendment's prohibition against involuntary servitude and protection of bodily autonomy, as well as the 14th Amendment's defense of privacy and freedom.
On the other side of the issue, witness Erin Morrow Hawley is senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom. She's also the wife of Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. She says the Dobbs ruling corrects a 50-year error that, in her words, resulted in the death of over 60 million unborn children.
Roe versus Wade was premised on egregious legal errors, and its reversal is a tremendous victory for life and for the American people. Roe cheated us of our ability to promote good policy, but Dobbs restores our opportunity to reaffirm motherhood and, in so doing, to empower women.
The House committee hearing came at the same time as a Senate committee was discussing the Dobbs ruling. Whether it all will change any minds remains to be seen. It didn't change Republican Comer's mind.
This hearing, Madam Chair, with all due respect, was a political hearing, in my opinion, to try to fire up the demoralized far left wing of the Democrat Party because of, disparaging poll numbers with the president and the party.
Debate is sure to continue as time passes, and new information about the effects of the Supreme Court ruling will continue also. Next month, the journal Obstetrics and Gynecology is scheduled to publish a study about the nearly 300 OBGYN residency programs that train physicians. That research says about 45% of the residency programs are in states that have or are expected to soon ban abortion. Of course, the struggles to protect abortion rights will also continue. Sara Lopez is Youth Program Coordinator for Chains Due Process, an abortion fund that helps young women in Texas.
This ruling is yet another attempt by lawmakers to eradicate our autonomy and sense of self. But what these same lawmakers don't understand is that no one, no matter how much power you hold, will ever be able to dissolve our community bonds, our capacity to maintain hope amidst so much despair, and our unrelenting love for our people.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.